I would direct your attention to a passage in Proverbs. Proverbs talks about the Lord and his love for us. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. We have the precious privilege now of giving back to the Lord. As we sang a few moments ago, he is altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful. And I will never know the cost that it cost to have my sin on that cross. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We praise you and thank you for all that you are. As we receive now these tithes and offerings, may you be blessed. May you take and use them for your honor and glory. We'll give you thanks in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen and amen. I would encourage you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Jude. The book of Jude, as we continue our series in this one chapter book, talking about contending for the faith, being contenders for the faith. Jude, I want to look with you this morning at verses 8 through 16. Jude 8 through 16. In the very same way, these dreamers pollute their bodies, reject authority, and slander celestial beings. But even the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not dare to bring a slanderous accusation against him, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." Yet these men speak abusively against whatever they do not understand, and what things they do understand by instinct, like unreasoning animals. These are the very things that destroy them. Woe to them. They have taken the way of Cain. They have rushed for profit into Balaam's error. They've been destroyed in Korah's rebellion. These men are blemishes at your love feasts, eating with you without the slightest qualm. Shepherds who feed only themselves. They're clouds without rain, blown along by the wind. Autumn trees without fruit and uprooted, twice dead. They're wild waves of the sea, foaming up their shame, wandering stars for whom blackest darkness has been reserved forever. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied against these men. See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone, and to convict all the ungodly of all the ungodly acts they have done in the ungodly way, and of all the harsh words ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These men are grumblers, fault finders. They follow their own evil desires. They boast about themselves, flatter others for their own advantage. This book of Jude, as we've been saying all along, is a warning. A warning to be on the alert against the insidious infiltration of godless men and women into our lives, into the church, into our world. And that we are to be contending for the faith. We are to be contending for this faith both inside and outside the church. We saw previously that Jude wanted to speak about salvation. He wanted to speak about the joy that we have in coming together, the fruit that we have from knowing our Lord Jesus Christ. But by the constraint of the Holy Spirit, he was moved to speak about contending, struggling for the faith, rolling up our spiritual sleeves, if you will, and jumping into the fray, contending for this faith. You have in your bulletins an insert, if you will. If you have your bulletin, I would just encourage you to pull this out. I don't want you to read it now. After the service, that would be fine. But this past week, I received this in the mail. It basically is about Amendment 4, Florida Amendment 4. And on its face, It looks like it is for the saving of children, against abortion. But if you look at Amendment 4 more closely, you will see that it would allow abortion up to the time of birth. Why do I bring this to your attention? Because it is, I think, another example of the deception that we have ongoing in our world. Bruce Wilkerson, minister, author, leader of World Challenge, has written, "Our world is no longer thinking straight, putting a veil over wickedness so it doesn't seem evil. Adultery is called an affair. The murder of unborn babies is called pro-choice. We even are seeing gross gender confusion, with some saying children can and should decide their own gender." Dear friends, we are in a battle. It may not appear like that at times when we gather together, worshiping, delving into His Word, fellowshipping with one another, but the world is filled with deception, with gross immorality, and a worldview that seeks to call good evil and evil good. And so Jude is calling us to be contenders. Contenders for the faith, contenders for the truth. We saw, as we've been walking through this book, we saw earlier that Jude says, if you're going to be a contender, you need to be winsome. You need to understand who you are. Because there are so many attacks of the devil that tries to tell you, you do not have any kind of self-worth. You need to know who you are. You need to know God's opinion of you. And you need to know how to deal with and encounter others. What we call emotional intelligence. And so many are without it today. Jude goes on to say, not only do you need to be winsome, you need to be on a war footing. You need to understand the tension. You need to understand the trial, and you need to understand the triumph of blessed, blessed living faith. And so this week, I want us to turn to contending as a contender to understand the way of the wicked. We saw 2 weeks ago that we've been given a sacred trust. Jude speaks to that sacred. We've been entrusted with this message of the gospel. And it is our responsibility to pray for those who are lost, to pray for those who are in government, to pray for those that we can't stand, maybe their political view. We've been called to pray for them. We've been called to seek the Lord for their salvation. And as we have opportunity to speak into the lives of those perhaps that just absolutely turn us off, we've been given a sacred trust. Folks, there are people all around us who are out of work. They need money. They need money for rent. My wife and I entertained that a number of weeks ago with a dear lady who talked to us in the church. There are people here who need comfort. They need care. They need someone who will spend time with them, listen to them, pray with them, walk with them. But my point is, in this difficult time, the enemy is also hard at work. He is also seeking to take these difficult times and turn them to his advantage. Folks, what we're seeing here is the enemy who's trying to tell these people they can live in any way they want and it'll be okay. And it will drive them to hell. Jude, therefore, speaks about this understanding the warfare, understanding the wicked. So I want to look with you this morning at the conduct, the character, and the condemnation of the subversive. If you have your outline in your bulletin, I would urge you to follow along. Verse 8 through 11, we see the conduct of the subversive in terms of his performance and his pattern. The conduct of this subversive in terms of, first of all, his performance, and then I want to look at his pattern. We see four distinct behaviors. First of all, in terms of his performance, he pollutes his body. Secondly, he rejects authority. Thirdly, he slanders celestial beings. And finally, he speaks ignorantly. Jude says, first of all, he pollutes his body. We know exactly what Jude is speaking to here, because in verse 8 he says, in the same way, these dreamers pollute their bodies. And that takes us immediately to the preceding passage, the preceding verse, where he is referring to the people in Sodom and Gomorrah. What Jude is saying, these people today pollute their bodies just as they did in Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns. These people are indulging in sexual immorality. They are confusing gender. Think for a moment with me. Who's created our human body? He made a male and a female. Folks, that's where it is. And when we try to confuse that, when we try to cross over that, we are in direct violation of truth. Genesis 2:24, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united with his wife, and they will become one flesh. Folks, that's talking about propagation. That's talking about pleasure. That's talking about being a man and a wife for the glory of God. We're to love the homosexual, certainly. We're to love those who are in error, who've been deceived. But we also are not to allow our own bodies, those around us, to be polluted. The subversive, first of all, pollutes his body. Secondly, the subversive, we're told here by Jude, rejects authority. He rejects authority. Let me give you a beautiful illustration of this. I want to share with you the founding mission statement of one of the most prestigious universities in the United States. Listen to this. To be plainly instructed and consider well that the main end of your life and studies is to know God and Jesus Christ. Wow. Is that the mission of Nyack College? No. Messiah College? No. Asbury University? No. Folks, it's the mission statement of Harvard University. The mission statement of Harvard University. And folks, within 80 years of the founding, it was founded in 1636, within 80 years, not even a century, those who took over control of Harvard University slid away from the scriptures, slid away from the truth, and now you see where they are. These people have rejected authority. Thirdly, these men and women are slanderers of celestial beings. The Amplified Version says it this way. These dreamers revile and libel and scoff at heavenly glories and the glorious one. Folks, they scoff at Christianity and Christians. And Jude uses an example here. He talks about Michael, the archangel, who would not even slander the devil. He said, I'm not going to do that. I'll allow God to talk with you. God to condemn you. Folks, we see this, and I'm going to get back to this idea about this lack of submission to authority throughout our society. But these people use crude language. They talk about God. They use the word God, and yet they live outside of God's authority. Fourthly, in verse 10, these people speak abusively of things they don't understand. They don't even begin to understand God's plan, God's love for them. And they continuously speak of God in bad terms. Let me give you another illustration. We've just seen it a couple weeks ago at the Olympics. I mean, how utterly offensive this parody against the Lord's Supper, where you have transgender people sitting behind this table. House, yeah. Oh, dear friends, we are in this society where we see these people speaking abusively of things they don't understand, mocking Christ, mocking Christianity. When we look at their conduct, I want to look at with you in terms of their performance. I want to look with you at their pattern. Looking at their performance, they pollute their bodies, they reject authority, they slander the celestial reality, they speak abusively of things that they don't know. That's their performance. Look with me now at their pattern. They follow the pattern, we're told, of Cain, Balaam, and Korah. In verse 11, we read, they have taken the way of Cain, They've rushed for profit into Balaam's error. They have been destroyed in Korah's rebellion. Folks, they've taken the way of these three. They've taken this as their path, as their pattern, if you will. What kind of a pattern? What kind of a pattern do we see in Cain? We see an absolute jealous regard, disregard of authority. Cain wanted to offer God an offering, but he wanted what Cain wanted, not what God wanted. We see this pattern. People wanting the favor of God, calling on God, using God's name, but living outside his authority. Then you have this pattern of Balaam, prophet of God, whom we read about in Numbers chapter 22. Balaam wanted ministry. Balaam wanted to be a minister, but he wanted money more than he wanted ministry. Again, folks, how many in our society today are seeking after more and more? More money, more influence, more stuff. Just driving them away from their family, away from God. They're living after the pattern of Balaam. And thirdly, Jude points out Korah. Korah, who rebelled against Moses, she led 249 other people in rebellion against God. Now, we don't see any rebellion against authority in our society, do we? Folks, that's where we live. This is the performance and pattern of the wicked, of the subversive. They indulge in immorality. They slander authority. They speak ignorantly of what they don't understand. They reject authority. Their pattern is always the way of Cain, a jealous disobedience, the way of Balaam, utter greed, subtle greed. And Korah, the way of rejecting godly authority. But conduct always follows character, doesn't it? What you do stems from who you are. So I want to look with you at the character of the subversive. Jude moves next to this character and he sees them as blemishes. He sees them as shepherds. He sees them as clouds without rain and trees without fruit and waves and wandering stars. I want to look with you at these different descriptors of character. First of all, Jude speaks in verse 12 of these wicked being blemishes. He says, these people are like blemishes at your love feast. Oh, this is a freighted term, folks. Don't miss this. The word for blemish in the Hebrew is stilas, S-T-I-L-A-S, and it means literally hidden rocks. What are we talking about here? We're talking about those rocks that are just underneath the surface of the water. And an unknowing ship coming into port, not knowing these rocks are there, is going to be run aground. And folks, that's exactly what these subversives want to do. They are hidden rocks. Another nuance of this same term is a hidden flaw. Suppose, again, you go and you see in the mall, at a jewelry store, you see a beautiful-looking diamond. It looks perfect to you. It looks flawless to you, and yet the jeweler that comes up alongside says, no, you understand, you need to understand there's this hidden flaw here. Known only to the gemologist or the jeweler. And what we're talking about here, these are examples of those subversives who are seen by God as blemishes at the love feasts. The subversive is just like that, partly or wholly submerged, ready to take you down. Secondly, Jude refers to them as shepherds who feed only themselves. The illusion is unmistakable, isn't it? You have shepherds throughout Christendom. You have shepherds throughout the church, let me say it that way, who look good on the front end, but who really have subversive plans, motives behind them. They seem to be good. But gradually their true colors come out. They're actually only interested in their own welfare, their own popularity, their own gain. But there's more. Thirdly, verse 12, Jude speaks of these subversives being in essence fruitless. They're fruitless. A cloud without rain and a tree without fruit. clouds without rain, blown along by the wind, and autumn trees without fruit, uprooted, twice dead. What are we speaking of here? Over in the Near East, where rain is so, so vital. Occasionally you see a dark cloud coming over and you're saying, oh good, we're going to get some rain, only to have that cloud peter out. What are we talking about here? We're talking about expectations unrealized. Raising your expectations, thinking that this is going to be good, only to be disappointed, only to find it's not true. The autumn tree is supposed to be ripe in harvest. It's supposed to be fruit-laden. But upon closer examination in this analogy, it isn't. And that's exactly what these subversives are. They might promise great spiritual advance. They promise great worldly advantage, but they never deliver. They promise comfort and security, but it's all like a cloud that looks like it's going to give rain. It looks like a tree that's going to be ripe, but isn't. Oh, please hear me this morning. If you're online and you're following some other path of some other worldview, if you're not allowing yourself to be guided by this manual, what we call the Bible, you are leading yourself to a Christless eternity. Fourthly, Jude describes these subversives as meaningless, like foaming waves and wandering stars. Jude, in verse 13, describes the character of these people as foaming waves of the sea and wandering stars. I love the ocean. I love to go to the ocean, and particularly when there's some really good waves breaking, or stand on a mountaintop or cliff and you look at these waves. But when you go down and you try to grab hold of a foaming wave, what do you get? Nothing. Get your hands wet. But more than that, oftentimes there's even debris inside. It's meaningless. It looks good. And Jude is taking this same picture of the subversive. They look good. They sound good. They seem to be all that you want, everything you need. And yet, when you truly understand who they are, it's nothing. He uses another analogy, the wandering star. They have no fixed point of reference, no purpose in life other than to deceive. And they walk about this earth deceiving others. Fifthly, verse 16, Jude calls them fault finders. I think the meaning's clear, isn't it? They're always after their own needs. They do anything or say anything to achieve their own goals. And if there is anything amiss, it's always somebody else's fault, never taking responsibility. Folks, these labels, these descriptors that I've just poured out upon you, I realize it's taking in a lot. But we simply have to be alert to the conduct and the character of these people. They are hidden rocks whose purpose is to bring shipwreck to your faith. They are selfish shepherds, clouds without rain, fault finders, flatterers. So let me close. We look at their conduct. We look at their character. I want to look finally with you at their condemnation in verses 14 and 15. From the very beginning of Genesis, mankind has rejected God's authority. And that kind of behavior always leads to death. We see it all across our world. Lacking submission to the authority of a good and perfect God. And there is judgment coming, as we read in verses 14 and 15. Let me close with, I think, a beautiful example of this in our society as well as across the world. It comes to us through William Golding's book, Lord of the Flies. I've read the book, but I didn't realize that the phrase Lord of the Flies is a Hebrew word for the devil. William Golding talks about this. He's talking about a picture of what would the world become if a person was left entirely to himself without any authority or restraint. His book is all about that. What is the result of doing what comes naturally? What if, he writes, every individual did his own thing? What might we expect? Golding tells of a small group of English boys brought up in nobility who were running away from an atomic warfare. Their plane crashes on a lonely island and the pilot dies. The boys are left in existence without any adult influence. On this island, there are no parents, no schools, no policemen. Consequently, there is a complete absence of law, authority, and discipline. They have to establish a new order, Golding writes. What will they do? Ralph began to emerge as the leader. He uses as a shell, uses a shell as a megaphone to call meetings. He serves as a constant reminder of what the boys had, of what they ought to be. Ralph symbolizes past experience and common sense. He becomes the conscience of the group. Piggy is a short, fat boy with thick glasses. He's the intellectual and serves as a reminder of the place of reason in establishing the new order. He is treated as an outsider and gradually rejected by the group. In a struggle late in the book, Piggy's thick glasses are broken, symbolizing the final break with intellect. Piggy is ultimately killed by the group. As the story progresses, Jack emerges as the leader. He's the leader of the hunters. At first, he is innocently hunting pigs for food. And then he develops a love for killing. Before the story ends, he's painted his face, and behind this mask of liberation becomes a bloodthirsty savage. At first, Golding writes, the boys feel an uneasiness. In their wrongdoing, they feel uneasy. Ralph tries in vain to keep a fire of righteousness going. No one is interested enough in being rescued by him. Things again break up, go rotten. Rules are rejected without concern. Savages emerge. They begin to live like animals. There's no message from any kind of grown-up world. On one occasion, Ralph says to Piggy, "What's wrong with us? What makes things break up like they do?" Later, the Lord of the Flies, again, the Hebrew translation for the word devil, he explains to Simon, the Lord of the Flies explains to Simon the mystic, "You knew, didn't you? I'm part of you. Close, close, close. I'm a reason why there is no go, why things are what they are." Finally, Jack, the savage, begins to hunt Ralph, the conscience of the group, to kill him. But at that moment, a ship arrives on the island. Ralph runs and throws his arms around a British naval officer's legs. The captain looks down at the wild, painted savage hunters and says, "I should have known. You thought that the pack of British boys, you are all British, aren't you, would have been able to put up a better show than that." And as Golding concludes, Ralph weeps for the end of innocence. Dear friends, it's a hard message to give this morning. But like Jude, we want to talk about our salvation, the blessings of our faith. But folks, we need to be focusing on the Lord of the Flies. We need to understand his overtures, his subtleness, his subversion, the subversive ways that creeps into our lives, wanting to tear us down. There may not be somebody like this directly in your path right now, or maybe there is, but we need to be alert. We need to be understanding the devil is like a roaring lion, prowling around seeking who he may devour. And that's why we need to make the Vision of Hope Church, the need to be connecting people to God, our priority, pursuing transformation. We need to be nurturing spiritual growth. And as we do that, we will impact our world. So if you're going to be a contender, first of all, you need to be winsome. You need to know who you are. You need to know God's understanding of you. You need to know how to deal with others. You need to be on a war footing. You need to understand the tension and the trial and the triumph of a living faith. And you need to understand the way of the wicked, their conduct, their character, and of course, their condemnation. Let's pray.